day myself. Think very spot where I got saved.
Yep.
My dad had Calvary Baptist Church, Gaylord, Michigan. And I kept watching people come to the altar. They were crying their eyes out. And they didn't spend a few seconds there. They didn't spend much time there. And when they got up, they went back differently. Tears were gone. And I want to know about, I kept responding. And my mama says, Timmy was talking, and he's too young, a five-year-old. And, you know, five-year-olds can die and go to hell too, amen?
Yes.
And so I kept raising my hand. That next Sunday, he said, I see that hand. And that day, I took the very spot in Mitchell Street where my dad sat me down and told me what was happening here. I had tears in my eyes. It says, joy in my heart. I said, Daddy, yeah. What's happening to me? My tears, I don't understand. But I says, joy in my heart. He said, well, the tears are because of what you used to be. Joy is what you've become.
Yep. Amen. That's good.
That day I got born again on Mitchell Street, Gaylord, Michigan. The building is still there. I want to stop sometime and knock on the door and see if I can go in and look at the very spot where I got saved. That'd be a testimony, wouldn't it? Yeah. Can I look at your house? Why? I want to see where I got saved, where I got born again. Can I just come in and look at where I got? Right there. That spot there where I got born again, folks, right there. I got a new life right there.
Amen.
You know what happened, amen?
Amen.
But anyways, I'll tell you how my wife and I met. I work in a full-service gas station back in the day. Back in the day I bought gas for 18 cents a gallon. And I was in the hood of my, I loved that car. Two-door, big motor, floor shift, I mean, I had everything. I was working on my carburetor. She walks up behind me, what you doing? I never looked at her. What's a carburetor? A carburetor sits on top of it, motor takes air and puts it in a cylinder. What's a cylinder? A cylinder where a piston goes in. What's a piston? What's this? It does that. What about that? It does this right. And she quit talking. Walked away. I gotta have her. She can rebuild my motor someday. I gotta have her. So I called her for a date. I'm busy. Popular girl. Next time. Yeah, it's Tim. You want a date? No, I'm busy. I wasn't living right back then. I said, one more time. If she says no this time, forget her.
I'm the one, but forget her.
Anyways, she said, yes, I'll go out with you. Went bowling. I kind of show off, I about broke my hand. Took her home. Next date, we had a good time out. In her driveway, I said, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. Will you marry me? Second date. And she said, yes. And the happiest time of my life. Except for when I got right with God, that's more happy than me. But I got a wife that won't quit, folks. Hello, she's a tough lady, amen. And when the thing breaks down, it's this probably. I don't know about that, but she's usually right, amen. I've taught her well.
Yes, you did.
Anyway, that's how we met. And we've been married for 52 years.
Yep. Amen.
And like I said this morning. Yeah, we've got 3 children, 15 grandchildren, 5 great-granddaughters. I'm praying that the great-granddaughters marry some great-grand preachers, amen, someday, amen. But anyways, we're just getting going. My family started with just 1, then 2, then 3. We got number 4, we lost number 4. But number 3 came out almost walking, 10 pounds, 4 ounces. So anyways, that's how we met. And I've been kind of stalling a little bit because I want to make sure I preach the right message tonight. And we had a good time here so far.
Amen.
Leave in the morning. We had about a 6-7 hour drive back home. And got lots of things to do back home. I'll be in Ohio next Sunday. We broke down, and a fella called me. He said, "Brother Quick," he said, "you called us once." And he said, "I'm not the pastor. My pastor's retiring last Sunday. Can you come preach for us on the 21st? I said, "Yes, sir. Put it down." And so that's the way it goes with us. We're not home very long. I've got a boat, a 14-foot boat. I just bought me a 9.5 horsepower motor for the back of it. Amen. Have you fired that thing up yet?
We've had it for 2 years.
It gets wet on the outside. Anyway. But I took my wife and my daughter fishing one time. We had a canoe. Nice canoe. But my line never got wet. My daughter's in front of the boat. She said, "Oh, I caught one, Daddy." I'll take it off. All right. You cast it out. Then my wife, "I caught one." I never got my fishing line wet. They was catching fish like crazy. I never caught one. They held out to clean at home, amen. But anyway, one of these days we're going to go fishing, amen. I like to go fishing like we've been going fishing, amen. Getting people saved, amen. I like fishing that way. I'm one of God's fishermen, amen. Last 2 weeks ago, we was in Indianapolis. This fella that started a new church out of Glory Baptist Church called New Life Baptist Church, and they're meeting in a hotel. Hotel rents them the room for $150 a week. They supply all the chairs, the podium, and everything, even coffee. Now, you guys got it made here. And so I preached for him again, and I had some people at the altar turning to the pastor, and pastor got in the pulpit, and the woman says, "Pastor, she wants to talk to you." "I'll get it right now. This girl wants to talk to you right now. Brother Quick, take over." So I put the bang over here. 6-year-old girl wanted to get saved.
Yeah. Amen.
She got saved. Yep. And Glory Baptist that night, Brother Campbell, been there before, laid a carpet for him in a church for him, and that young man came to Wednesday night church first time on Wednesday night. That Sunday, he came back that night and got born again.
Yep. Amen.
I'm going to preach the message tonight that I preached that night, okay? But he got saved. And by, we had fellowship afterwards. That guy was lit up like you wouldn't believe. That's the change that comes.
Yep.
I like that.
Amen.
Change that comes. Good change that comes, folks. But I tell you what. Anyways, we're glad to be back with you all again. And take some prayer cards back, and they're back there, and pray for us. We need people praying for us. We're on the road always. We've had some close calls. And we're heading for a meeting on the freeway. I went 70 miles an hour on wet roads. And I hit some lights and a police car. I went to put the brake on, glare ice. No stopping at 70 miles an hour. And God took that Yukon, the only spot that was left on that freeway, way over by the wall,
yep,
and brought us right on through. Amen? I didn't have time to pray, but she did, amen? We had some close calls on the road. We road construction coming up. I said, form one lane. And so I got in the right lane. Bill sent me behind me. And he must have woke up or something, and you couldn't put your hand between her door and his bumper. We've had close calls, folks, but thank God people at home praying for us.
Amen.
I get texts. I told him, people text me before I preach a message, something to encourage me in preaching. I got, preacher, this, that. I like being text. Get a prayer card, text us, okay? Call us if you want to. Send checks too, amen. But we're glad to be back with you all again tonight.
Amen.
And we want to be a blessing to you somehow, some way, I pray. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you will. 1 Corinthians 15, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before thee, thanking your God for this time, this place. These folks that are here, I pray. Dear God, we need something from you tonight. I pray you help us a little bit. And I'm a strong message, but I pray you just help us to think about some things tonight. Holy Spirit, please touch my mouth, my mind. Holy Spirit, please use me tonight. Speak through me tonight, Holy Spirit. I just pray somebody here needs a message tonight, so I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd work on that person sitting here. Holy Spirit, I know some people should be here tonight. Some people love this church. Work on them right now tonight, Lord, to bring back this assembly where they belong. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray the meeting is yours. We're thankful for what you're going to do. Father, we love you. You're going to do it. Just let me pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Verse number 51 says this. Paul's writing, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, last trump, the trumpet shall sound. The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Paul's writing, Church of Corinth again. First time he wrote, the church was an absolute mess. Everything was there. Now he's coming back to them again saying, now look, kind of folks, he said, you're clean, you act up, but he said, I want you, he said, you're not asleep, but we're all going to be changed one day. Think about that. When that trumpet blows, change comes. Hello? Change comes. We had a cat, had her for 18 and a half years. That cat was a special kitty. She put me to bed every night we went home. I'd fall asleep, she would get mama. Put mama on bed, amen? And sleep on us or between us, around us, amen? That cat, when she went to the potty box, she'd come and tell me she's done. Hello? A very special kitty. And she saw us packing the bags, you know, she looked at the, she know, she, we're going to come back. A very special kitty. But you know, I prayed, dear God, when you come, if Hershey's still alive, take her life too. Yeah. I don't want you to take us out of here and that cat to starve to. Take her life too. You know, that's the way I prayed for. That cat loved us and we love that cat, amen? You got to be praying about your pets that same way. When the trumpet blows, take the pet too, amen? Now I pray. I pray we're all going to be changed one day. The church will be changed. No more business meetings. Hello? No more getting... I had a carpet job one time at the church. Ladies were in charge of picking out the colors they wanted. I had several samples on the floor there. There it was. One lady says, I want this one. I want this one. I want this one. I want that one. For an hour and a half, I stood there, folks, waiting for these ladies to make up their mind. I said, ladies, what? The one in the middle? Yeah? Best one on sale, buy it. They did. We're going to be changed, eh, folks? No more meetings like that. We're all going to be around the throne of God. Yes. Thinking the same thing. Speaking the same language. Yeah. Hello? Think about that. We're going to be changed. I'll tell you what. What a day that will be. Amen. That's what I'm preaching. What a day that will be. When that trumpet blows, we're out of here. What a day that will be. That will be. The Bible says, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3. Look, if you will, at verse number 1. Behold, what manner of love has been bestowed upon us. We should call the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now it does not. Now we are the sons of God, but not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Yes. When that trumpet blows, folks, I'm going to see my Savior coming for us. Amen.
Yes.
Hello? I want to see my Savior coming. Isaiah chapter number 9. Before I get to preach here, Isaiah 9. Verse number 6 says this, for unto us a child is born, and the Son is given. You know, it shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful,
yes.
Counselor,
amen.
Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I'm going to see my Savior that day. The Bible says, I'm going to see him as he is. I'll see the one who gave sight to the blind. You think about that. A blind man was there, and Jesus came by, and all he had just speak to him, and he had sight, amen. I'm going to see him as he, the one who gave sight to the blind. I was blind. But when he came by me, he opened my eyes.
Yes, sir.
Hello? I can see spiritual things now. Before, I couldn't.
Right.
I'm going to see the one who opened the eyes of the blind. I'm going to see the one who caused the lame man to walk again. I was lame, folks. I couldn't walk. 17 years in a wheelchair. If we went anywhere, that wheelchair went with us. I hated the thing, but I appreciate a church donating it to us. Amen. But I must see the one that spoke to the lame man, let him walk home.
Yeah.
On 15th Baxter, number 15, I could have walked home. But one more ride in a wheelchair to the car. Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll tell you what, I'm going to see him as he is, the Bible says. The one who gave sight to the one who caused the lame, the one who gave life to the dead.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Hello? Life to the dead. Ephesians, if you will. Ephesians, if you will. Chapter number 2. Bible says there, verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins.
Yep.
That was me. Time passed, well, according to the course of the world, according to the prince power of the air, spirit now working in the children of disobedience. That was me. But that day, at Mitchell Street, I was dead and I'm going to hell, folks. Jesus came by and quickened me. That word quicken means to be made alive. My wife, I thought she was saved. We were on the road, went to a missions conference down in Georgia. I thought she was saved. She liked going to church. She liked reading the Bible. She liked singing songs. She liked doing all those kind of things. And I tell you what, I thought she was saved until one day, a preacher turned over to an evangelist. The evangelist got in the pulpit and he says, folks, I'm here. There's a pastor, a pastor's wife, a missionary, missionary's wife, is going to be saved tonight. He cut loose and preached like you wouldn't believe. Gave the invitation. We had friends that was with us there. Missionaries to the Indian folks. He gave the invitation. And Sandy goes forward. My wife says, good. It's her, not me. I didn't know that. That night, knocking on the camper door. Brother Quick, I've got no peace. I've got to get things settled tonight. I thought, I got to settle it tonight. Let's go find a Sunday school room. So we're in there. Okay, Sandy, you pray. Us men are going to our faces. We're going to call to God and try to help you to get victory over this thing right now, tonight. And she did. When she was finishing up her praying, she said, dear God, I had some doubts, but my doubts are all gone now. I want to thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. My wife's hand goes up, which I didn't know that. She says, Lord, Sandy's not the only one who doubts. I will be saved tonight also. My wife got born again, quickened, in Georgia that night. I took off after I hugged her a little bit. I ran through that pitch black, an auditorium. Never touched a pew nowhere. God was in control of me. I was so happy my wife was saved.
Amen.
I'm going to see him. The one who gives life to the dead.
Yep.
And listen, Baptist churches are dead. Amen. You can be brought back to life again and do what they're supposed to be doing, being a witness in the neighborhood and around them, amen, telling people about Jesus, amen, in a nice way, like I said this morning, nice way, bring them into the house of God. Promise them lunch. Anything, get them under the hearing of the word of God somehow, some way. I'll see him as he is. Think about that. And that trumpet blows. I've been driving down the road and says, Lord, what if you come right now tonight? Right now, we're driving. Who's going to take care of my truck? He said, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
He's in control of everything. I'm going to see him as he is. He's the one. I'll see. He's the one that caused me to walk right. Amen? We are to walk in the right way. Philippians, if you will. I mean, Colossians, if you will. Chapter number 1. Colossians 1. This is how we are supposed to walk, folks, as Christians. The Bible says in Colossians 1 and verse number 10 says that you might walk, Paul says, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in knowledge of God. Hey, that's a message right there. I can preach that message all night tonight. Walk worthy of the one who died for us. Think about it. Walk worthy. But how am I supposed to walk? Okay, I'm glad you asked that question. Ephesians, if you will. Ephesians, if you will. Chapter 2 again. How am I supposed to walk, brother? Brother Quick, how am I supposed to walk? I'll show you. Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse number 15 says, see then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Paul says the days are getting bad, getting worse. Redeeming. Where's that word circumspectly mean? That word circumspectly means to walk cautiously. Your neighborhood is watching you. The people you work with, they're watching you. The people you're around every day, they're watching you how you walk. We're not going to bars. I'm going to the bar and preach a little while. Amen. I preached in a lot of places. I preached a Catholic chapel one time. All kinds of pictures up on the wall about our Savior. Yep. I said, they won't ask me back there again, but anyway. You got some nice pictures on the wall. Yeah, we got them all. No, you're missing one. We got them all. No, you're missing one. Which one did we leave out? The empty tomb.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
That's not up there. My Lord and Savior's not hanging on a cross no more.
Right.
He was there for a little while and took him out and put him in a sepulcher. Now he walked out of there, folks. That empty tomb. You should put a picture about the empty tomb. Don't ask me back there again, but anyways. We've got to work cautiously, folks, because that world is watching. They know how Christians are supposed to live, how Christians are supposed to dress, how they're supposed to talk, how they're supposed to act. They know all about that. Sometimes we are the worst testimony for ourselves, amen, because of how we live at home.
Yeah. Exactly right.
Walk circumspect. Why? Paul says, because the days are evil. Mm-hmm. You want to win your friends? Walk right. You want to win your family? Walk right.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to me, folks. I'm going to see him as he is. My Savior. My Savior. The one who bled and died on the cross for me. What a day that will be. I'll tell you what, folks. The day's coming. 1 Thessalonians, if you have chapter 4, if you will. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says there, verse number 16. The Lord himself should ascend from heaven with a shout. I wait for that shout to come, amen. The voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall ever be with the Lord. Paul says, wherefore comfort one of these by these words, he says. He said, hey, look up.
Yeah.
Don't look at this world. Look up. He's coming. He's coming back. Walk worthy. Secondly, I'm going to see him as he is. Secondly, I'm going to see the saints.
Yeah.
Hello? I'm going to see the saints. Like I said this morning, there are a lot of people that have gone on before me, waiting for us to come home. I've got some preacher friends up there right now, waiting. And probably say, Jesus is today's day. I don't know yet.
That's right.
Don't know yet. When's it going to be? Don't know yet. The Bible says only one person knows when Jesus Christ is going to come back. That's God the Father. Him and him only knows the hour and the very moment that God's going to say, go get my children. I want to see the saints. The saints up there, I want to see you again. I miss them tonight. I had a friend. I preached in his church a few times. Back when we had a bus, we went out of the inner city of Detroit. He'd have us park our bus in his parking lot and take a van down because the gangs would have stripped the bus. The gangs had a mark on every building in the neighborhood except for the church was untouched. This friend of ours was out knocking on doors one day. Pastor for over 39 years. What are you supposed to do? Fell on his head. Had to do surgery, emergency surgery on his brain to relieve the pressure there. And I think the first one he saw was Jesus. He's waiting for Brother Quick to come, his wife. He's waiting. And we've got a lot of folks up there, folks, just waiting for Brother Quick to come home. Amen. You probably got some folks up there waiting for you to come home. Amen. Waiting for you to come. Oh, man. What a day that's going to be. Whoa! You ever think about that? I listen to Trumpet's Bow every day. Do you? Come on. You expecting to go home in time? Hello? I'm going to see the saints. The saints. Then I'm going to see the sinner saved. Hello? I'm going to see the sinners that have been saved, amen. Gospel tract I hand on somebody, and they can say, hey, I'm here because of you. Hello? We started Blessed Hope Baptist Church in Sheboygan, Michigan, all Catholic town. Lots of buildings we could have started our church in, storefront buildings, but I say Baptist, it won't work for you. So we started Blessed Hope Baptist Church 10 miles out in the country, living room of our house. I should have said something about this morning. I was talking about prayer. First couple of sermons. Pastor, we need to have our own. I know that. I know that. It's 1989. We need to get something going here. Talked about a couple of services on Wednesday night. We need some money. How much? So we came across, let's ask God for $10,000. That'll buy something in 1989. So begin to pray. So a handful of people started praying for $10,000 for Blessed Hope Baptist Church to get started. And in my office, I got a phone call. Really quick? Yes, you know what I mean? Yes, I do. My wife had a bad accident. She's doing a lot better now. But we want to send you some money. I thought, boy, a new church can sure use $100 right now. Where's my faith? I said, well, how much are you going to send us? Brother, we're sending $15,000. I said, what are you? $15,000. You're reaching our people in Sheboygan. We want that church to go. I said, send the check, but send me a letter, tell me how to spend that money. He did. Very first thing, put $10,000 in your building fund. There it was. Boom. The Mormons had a church building 3 blocks off Main Street for sale. We went and looked at it. Perfect for us. He said, Mr. Quick, we've been saving it. Didn't want a cult coming into this building. I said, we're independent Baptist. We didn't want a cult coming in this building. Okay. How much? $10,000 down, make the payments. There you go. Our first service paid the demons out of the place, amen. Then we had church.
Yep.
And I told our people, I said, folks, I can build this work because I know how to knock on doors. I know how to talk to people out there. I can talk to them good. Not me. It's up to you. You get 50 people in here, and I'll run around outside and shout glory to God in front of all those Catholic people. I'll shout glory to God to the highest. All those Catholic people. Well, they got 55 people. Guess when? Now, Sheboygan is way up here in Michigan.
Yep.
January. That much snow. I'm a boot guy. No tracks, no treads. I kept my word. I went around slipping and sliding everywhere, shouting glory to God in front of those Catholic people. Just shout glory to God all the way around. I came in and said, "Wait, you guys did it! Let's keep on going."
Yep, amen.
You see, it's not up to me or your pastor to build this work. It's up to you folks. Get people in here.
Right.
Come on.
Amen.
I'm going to see the sinner saved. All times I've been in the hospital, the last time I was in the hospital, in 2 months I was in the hospital, doctors come in, they get a gospel tract, they come to clean my bed, they got a gospel tract, I tell them about you. Anybody came in, whatever, give me a temperature, whatever, take my blood, they got a gospel tract. My road ministry became a hospital ministry. And one day when I get to heaven, hello?
No.
Some people say, "Hey, remember the hospital? I was there, I got it. I'm here because of you. In Sheboygan, this old woman, she's Catholic. Went to her house several times. She said, "I'm just going to be the Pope." I said, "Ma'am, the Pope is a man. We're talking about Jesus Christ that can save your soul. The Pope can't save your soul. I'm just going to do what he says." Got a phone call. She was in the hospital, not doing good. Got in the hospital, walking down the hallway, the priest left. I walked into her room, I said, "Agatha, Pastor Quick is here. Can I talk to you?" And she said, "Oh, I don't know." I said, "Agatha, you don't need to die right now. Ask Christ to save your soul right now. Please, just ask Christ to save your soul so you can go to heaven. I don't know. Agatha, I gotta just ask him, just ask him." Oh, I can see the fire! In hell today. There's a Pope in hell today too. He's down there with her now. I'm sure Agatha went to him and said, "I'm here because of you." But I want saints to come to me and say, "I'm up here because of you."
Yeah. Amen.
Hello?
Yeah.
Saints that we bump into, wherever, "Hey, I'm here because of you." That tall man was here this morning. He knew who we were. In the same church we went to down in Michigan, up Michigan, it was a pleasure to see that man. I couldn't even hardly recognize him. He's so tall. I bent over because I spent 9 years walking with a walker. My back is all fused now because of that situation. Amen. But anyways, I'll always be stooped over. Amen. Until that trumpet blows.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm gonna walk straight then. I'll see the one and walk straight.
Yeah.
I'll see the one that healed my wife. I'll see the one that all these things, miracles. I have seen miracles happen, folks, before my eyes.
Yes.
Bible says, "Call upon me, and I'll answer thee, and show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not." There's been some times they say, "Wow, God."
Yes, sir.
Wow. We had a bus one time on a freeway heading south. Started fighting on that side, pulled off the freeway. Big old parking lot there. From the parking lot, I blew this much fuel line. Hardware store back there. So me and my oldest boy went back there. I took the line with me. I said, "Ma'am, this line, do you have this line? We used to sell it, but we don't have no more of it. We're all out of it. This much is all I need. We don't have it." I said, "Where's that?" "We're back there, but we don't have any of it." So me and my oldest boy went back there. Guess what was back there? That much line.
Yep. Amen.
God did it again.
Amen. Amen.
Cost 75 cents. Yep. I'll tell you what, folks. I've seen God do some wonderful things. I had a phone call. I was in Upper Pennsylvania. I got a phone call from a guy, pastor. "Can you come help start Westside Baptist Church in Manistique, Michigan?" I said, "Well, let me pray about that. I want to have moved to the east. Let me pray about it. I got 3 children. I called him. I said, "Yes, we'll come." Had problems with carpet work in town. I went to work. Guy fired me after the first day. God had a funny way of stretching. He stretched corner to corner. You don't do it that way. I didn't say a word to him. I got a power stretcher. I know how to stretch carpet. You will not get on wrinkles when I get done with it. Amen. But anyway, I went home. Job's gone. What are we going to do? I know. So my prayer closet. I said, "Dear God, we're here because of you. We need some money." That morning. Knocked on my door. I said, "Yes, sir. You like carpet?" "Yes, sir, I do." "We bought a house a few houses down from you on the same side of the road. Been by it? Come down and give us an estimate." I can do that right now. Went down there. That morning, folks, we sent our kids to Christian school with all that we had left in the house to eat. Homemade biscuits and water. No jelly. We were out of everything. I gave an estimate. And we didn't want to. "Well, I'll bury my..." "Oh, wait, did I forget it? We'll pay you first."
Yep.
Cash money.
Yep.
I could have floated home. Why? God just came through. I was just in my prayer closet a few minutes ago asking God for help. There's the help.
Amen.
I walked in the house and said, "Babe, what?" And God said, "We're getting that money." They paid. They don't do that anymore. They did this time. Go get some grace for the kids. I've seen God do things like you wouldn't believe, folks. I wish more believers would start believing that God can do whatever we ask him to do. If it's according to his will.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know it's according to his will to see this building full.
Yes.
What a day that's going to be. The saints. The sinners have been saved. The neighborhood around here, you knock on your door, you might leave a gospel tract, whatever. If they do with the gospel, you'll see them in heaven one day.
Right.
I'll tell you what. What a day that will be. And my Jesus, we will see. What a day that will be. We are supposed to be ready at the very moment, folks. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter 3. The Bible says there in verse number 14. "But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of terror. You need to be troubled. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh the reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, or to speak evil of you as evildoers, that they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you of your good work in conversation in Christ Jesus. For it is better, if the will of God be so, if you suffer well-doing than for evil-doing." Be ready. The very moment somebody asks you, "Where are you going on Sunday?" All dressed up. Where are you going early in the morning Sunday morning? "Where are you going?" "I go to church." "Well, church? What church you go to?" Be ready to give an answer.
Yeah.
Why you go to church? Be ready to give an answer.
Right.
Don't show off. Don't start quoting scriptures to them. Just give them the reason why you go to church. Jesus Christ saved my soul.
Yeah.
That's why I go to church. That's why I look different. That's why I talk different. That's why I act different. Because Jesus Christ saved my soul. At the very moment they ask you the reason of the hope that lieth in you. Why do you live like that? "I'm going to heaven." That's why. Well, I'll see him as he is. I'll see the saints. I'll see the sinner saved. And lastly, I'm going to see that city. That city. My wife and I sometimes have a contest going on a trip someplace. How many road construction signs are we going to see this time? How many detours are we going to take this time? When we took a detour coming here, amen, I don't recommend that road to anybody. It's, they ought to tear that road out so many full of holes, I mean, you can almost lose a car in them holes, amen? Bang, boom, bang. We found the right way to go. She told us the right way to go.
Amen.
Over the bridge, it's out of order. She said, it's okay. Folks, I'm going to see a city. Abraham, the Bible says, was searching for a city. Amen. Think about it. That city, the Bible says, has one street. The dimensions are all in the Bible. You can read it if you want to sometime. It's got one street. That song we sang about the streets of glory, that streets, it's one street up there, folks. And that one street runs by my mansion, Glory Boulevard, amen. Think about that city. What a day that will be. I'm going to see Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. Verse number 11, chapter 11, verse number 10 says this, for he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. It's a perfect city, folks. Perfect in every which way. Verse number 13 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And you've got that, have they got that hope that Abraham's got right there? We're not just, we're just visitors to here on this earth right now. But we're seeking a city whose builder and maker is God. It's a perfect city. Everything is in order. There's no road construction, nowhere. All the buildings, perfect, golden city.
Yeah.
What a day that will be. Chapter 13 of Hebrews. Verse number 14 says this, for we have no continuous city, but we seek one to come. Are you looking towards heaven tonight? Are you thinking about that place called heaven? Hello? Think about it. A place where God is. A place where Jesus is at right now. A place where the saints of God are up there right now. You see, I don't like loud services. You better get used to it, because heaven is a loud place. They're rejoicing night and day up there constantly because they're at the feet of Jesus, rejoicing up there like they should have been doing down here.
Amen.
It's all right to come unglued a little bit for God, amen? It's all right to get loose for him. Don't get carried away swinging from sand. No, just do it in a right and godly way, amen? Rejoice in him. What a day that will be. How about it, folks? You thinking about that day? Are you? Is it real to you tonight? Is it real that, hey, we could be in heaven tomorrow morning? Hello? I'm going to have a robe of white up there. I'll have some white boots, amen? I pray God's got some silver spurs for me and ride my horse back, amen? Paul says, well, I'll sleep, but we're all going to be changed, he said. In a moment, a twinkling of an eye, we will be changed. You know, when I saw my girl walking away from me that day, my eyes twinkled. Gotta have her. I didn't even know what she looked like in the face. But walking away, I said, twinkling of an eye. This day, how much time a twinkling of an eye? 1/10 of a second, amen. A twinkle of an eye. Look what I got. A twinkle of my eye. Look what I got, amen. What about you? Are we ready for heaven or not? Might be some here that's a church member. You're not quite sure about some things. Listen to me, folks. We can make sure tonight about heaven for you. What a day that will be. That trumpet blows. We're out of here. Out of here. Going home. To be with our Savior. Our friends, our relatives that are home. My mom and dad are up there. Waiting for Timmy to come home. Hello? Others up there just waiting. Preacher friends of mine up there, preacher wives, waiting for that day. They're listening for that trumpet to blow also. What a day. What a day of reunion it's going to be. We get together over there. You talk about one grand party. And we get done at the feet of Jesus. We're going to think about heaven. What a wonderful place it's going to be. No speed limits up there, amen. The only Democrats that are going to be up there are ones that have been born again, amen. Hello? No Republicans up there, only those that have been born again, amen. Paul says we're all going to be changed. In a moment, twinkling of an eye. Are you ready tonight for heaven? Stand with me, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Mama's going to come sing a song.